You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
My next guest has put out their second or third song of the year. They are an emerging Tamaki Makaurau talent working in the fields of indie folk, R&B and pop, a triple-headed threat. It's Lily Stiven. We've got Lily Stiven on the line coming to us from, I assume, Tamaki Makaurau. We're talking to her about her new track, What's the Worst I Could Do? Good morning to you, Lily. How are we?
Good. How are you?
I am going swimmingly. I'm feeling like I got a really good sleep last night, and that always helped. You know,
that's always so good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really hard to do these days, especially just given how many distractions there are around us. You said just before that you're in your first year of university.
Yeah, just in my first year at SAE in Auckland, getting a degree in songwriting, which is pretty cool.
That's so cool. How are you finding it so far?
So much fun. I'm absolutely loving it. It's definitely my kind of thing.
Cool. That's good. It's good, like, when you go into tertiary studies and you immediately click with something. I think that shows a lot of promise, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
for sure. Now, it seems like 2025 is a big year of growth for you. You're exploring new sounds. You did a live to air on BFM, and you're becoming more proficient with music production software. What is your biggest musical highlight so far of this year?
Oh, my big musical highlight? Probably just releasing consistent music this year. This is my second song of the year, and there's more in the works, so lots of shows and things coming up that aren't told about yet, but yeah, just finally kind of getting more consistent as an artist and releasing and playing shows, I'd say, is definitely a huge highlight.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can get better if you don't keep putting stuff out, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or just make it for yourself, either or, but I mean, putting stuff out helps a lot.
Yeah.
I was listening to your live to air on BFM, and it sounded like you have quite a large band. What's your band like when you play live?
It's kind of always changing, but at the moment, we have saxophone, bass, guitar, drums, and vocals.
Oof, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's mean. Is it hard to organize or arrange or find transport for transporting all the people and the instruments?
It's actually not too bad. The boys that I work with are trained, beautiful, amazing musicians, and they just love what they do, and they make it so easy and so fun, so it's always so enjoyable. It's not too hard, which is really nice.
Cool. So everyone's professional, it's not a hassle.
Yeah.
Great. Now, I noticed on DSPs, direct streaming platforms, that you post sped up versions of your songs, as well as the bass version. I want to know, what is your choice behind that, and does the algorithm favour the sped up versions?
Apparently it does. That's which
so
is
weird.
So random.
So weird.
It's so weird. But yeah, there's been like scientifically proven or something that the algorithm loves sped up versions, and sometimes the audience does too. I don't know what it is, but yeah, so we always tend to put out the sped up version, and we'll release it a week later than the original song, just so that, you know, if people want to use it, they can.
As I think you're the first artist I've ever talked to doing that. I think it's fascinating. It's kind of maybe a response to what we're talking about earlier with so many distractions in life. You know, people are having shorter attention spans, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Definitely a reaction to that. Also, TikTok loves sped up versions.
Yeah, TikTok loves sped up versions, for sure.
Have you been marketing yourself on TikTok?
Yeah, I sure have. I haven't done too much promotion for the song, though, because I feel like I've been promoting all my other songs beforehand like crazy, and then it comes out and I'm just like burnt out and like, nah, I can't do it anymore.
Put yourself first, man.
Promote more after the song's released now, so keep an eye out.
Yes, no, that's very, very good. You got to keep yourself intact, otherwise, I don't know, you're just going to have a shit life. Now, the track itself, What's the Worst I Could Do, is about falling for someone who might not stick around and realizing that if you being yourself drives them away, what's the worst thing you could do in that situation? And the answer is nothing, because if there's no authenticity, can you maintain a connection with that person? That's the question I want to ask you.
Bang on.
Yeah. When did the kind of impetus for this song begin?
We wrote this song. I was actually looking through my voice memos yesterday for, I'll post some behind the scenes stuff on making the song soon.
Mm.
And it was literally a year ago, pretty much, that we wrote this song. And then we pretty much started recording it probably about 6 months ago. So it's been quite a process, but yeah, we wrote it and we were like, oh, this is like, we've got to get this out. This is going to be so sick. And it started out like majority of my other songs, more pop, folky, indie. And then we were like, so many people in the industry were like, you have such a cool voice. Like, you should try something like R&B soul vibes. And so my mentor, Padiso, is actually an Afro like beats rapper.
Mm.
And so it's quite different to my genre, and he's really into R&B. And so, yeah, we made a little switch and explored the sound, and we're obsessed with it. So going to keep doing that for a while and just, yeah, keep exploring and, yeah, enhancing my sound, I guess.
Yeah, I want to talk about the sonic palette of the song in a second. But I want to know, is the lesson of, you know, of if you're not being your authentic self with someone to try and please them, I guess. Have you learned that that's a lesson you need reminding still? Or are you completely like, oh, I'm just going to be myself, and then if this person doesn't like that, I'm just going to move on?
I definitely still need to remind myself, like, you are you, like, you can't change that. And if they don't like you for being you, then, like, bye.
Yeah, bye. Like,
you can't change yourself for someone else. So I'm definitely still telling myself that because I'm a big overthinker.
Mm.
But I'm getting better.
Yeah, no, same here. In terms of being a big overthinker, but I think the more you get older, the less you actually care. It's hard when you're really young, man, because you want to, like, yeah, you want everyone to pick up what you're putting down, but it's like not everyone will, and that's great. That's great. Now, sonically, as you mentioned before, this thing is way more R&B focused. It has some really cool boom bap drums, some very lush strings, and some incredibly catchy bass hooks. And it sounds almost disco-y at certain points. You mentioned your mentor, Padiso, produced this track. Now, how did they turn... Where would your input be on the sonics of this thing?
So most of when Padiso and I are producing the songs, he's mainly doing majority of it because he's incredible. But we started producing the song, and it was kind of like I said, like our other songs. It was literally like guitar, drums, bass, lots of like vocals and things. And I was like, oh, it's just not feeling quite right. And then, like I said, heaps of people were like, try R&B. Like, honestly, you'll love it. You'll suit it. I reckon you should try it. And so we were like, oh, okay. And so we pretty much took all the guitar away and just started with, like, writing keys and things. And like I said, Padiso did majority of this, but I just sent through heaps of, like, reference tracks. Like, oh, I love this, because I'd never really explored making a song in this genre before.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do too much. But yeah, heaps of reference tracks, and just like every week, like sending ideas, and him being like, does this sound good? And me being like, oh, let's do this maybe. And just heaps of back and forth, figuring out what we did and didn't like. And yeah, in the end, it ended up coming together in like a month, and it just all started clicking. And then it was like, sweet, send it to the like mix and mastering. Like, it was a super fast process once we like hit it, which was really cool.
Cool. So it's just a total like dialogue, but a discourse between you and Padiso.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Are you learning some music production chops from Padiso?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm learning lots.
Nice. Oh, that's good, man. That's good. It seems like, as I mentioned before, it seems like 2025 is a massive year of growth. It's great to be trying out new sounds. And I want to know, will we expect to hear more of this sound from your new material coming down the line?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Cool. That's great, because it works really, really well. Do you have any more tunes coming out this year you'd like to talk about?
I haven't actually talked about this one yet. I haven't even played it live yet, but I do have a new song that is in the works right now. It should be out within the next couple of months. So
cool, yeah. Very exciting. And then will you be releasing a body of work, so to speak, later on in the late game of the year or early next year?
Yes, yeah. So all of these songs that I've been releasing, Look Where I Am, Williams Tragedy, What's the Worst I Could Do, and more, are a part of my first debut EP. Mm-hmm. So they're all coming out very slowly because we're wanting to evolve my sound the whole way. But after they've all been released, they'll all come together and it will be my debut EP, which is super exciting.
Fantastic. I want to quickly touch on Williams Tragedy, because Williams is reference to William Shakespeare, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Are you a big Shakespeare head?
I'm actually not, which is so random.
True.
When Pediso and I were writing the song, he teaches poetry, and he was like, "Oh, let's get some really cool like poetry, really smart lyrics in there." And he was like, "What about William Shakespeare?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what the heck?" And it just worked so well.
Oh my gosh, crazy crossover, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on the program, Lily. I really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to hear more of that R&B sound. It's so captivating.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. And best of luck with your studies as well. Best of luck with those.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, that was Lily Steinven. We're talking to Lily about her latest track, What's the Worst I Could Do, which we're about to play for you, the lovely listener, right now. You are listening to the Adu Breakfast Program with yours truly, Zach Hoffman. We'll be joined at 10 by Scapegoat Mercy and maybe someone else. We'll see. We're talking about Scapegoat Mercy's latest track, Bad Sales. That's coming up at 10. Here's Lily Steinven with What's the Worst I Could Do, Ka Kite.
Don't want to hold back. Don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to lay back in case you change your mind. Don't want to look into the future in case it's not what I'm imagining now. How do I make you stay? How do I fall?
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.